Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Taysom Hill, the starting quarterback today for the New Orleans Saints.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's going to be fun for the Saints fans to watch.
Taysom's going to keep it off the sideline. Touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're just going to go like from Flacco to Lamar.
Looking downfield, he's going to tuck it and run at the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Taysom Hill!
Today's guests from NBC Sports, Peter King, 76ers president of basketball operations, Daryl Morey, plus 9-year NFL veteran Spice Adams. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh my gosh, oh my.
I mean, like, dude wins one game.
Exactly. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live from Los Angeles, California. I am your humble host, getting set to take you through this this three-hour extravaganza, a three-hour extravaganza that's going to be a fun and frolic from the NFL weekend to what we saw in the NBA and what we also saw on the college gridiron. We got a lot to talk about here on this show. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How
my
are
man.
You, sir?
What's happening?
I am good, good to see you, Mike Del Tufo.
Good to see you.
On our social media, Grand Maester T.J. Jefferson dressed as Andy Dalton today. It's amazing how that's how.
How about them Cowboys?
Well, hey, look. Hey, Chris.
Hey. What?
The Houston Texans saved you the. I guess, trouble of having to find suspenders and tartan shorts. I had
that outfit.
I don't think you had Cam's outfit, no.
I was going to look good today.
Hey, but we start this show with a dynamite Sunday night football game, a dynamite Week 11 Sunday night football game. We were all looking forward to it. I called my shot earlier in the week saying that the Raiders were going to win this game. I was so close.
So close.
I downgraded it to the unluckiest lock of the week at the end of last week because I was genuinely concerned how a team's going to stop Patrick Mahomes. It's tough to stop Patrick. Let's put it this way. It's tough to stop Patrick Mahomes any given Sunday or Sunday night or Monday or Thursday. Or I guess in the case of last night, a Sunday night, coming off a week in which much of your defense, starting defense, didn't practice because of COVID-19 protocols. And sure enough, man, the Raiders hit the Chiefs in the mouth. The Raiders are a physical football team that plays at a fast speed. It truly is in the mold of an Al Davis 70s team. It really is truly in the mold of throw deep when you can, hit you in the mouth when it is any other down of football, and go ahead and play at a fast pace. And they came out and hit the Chiefs right in the mouth and served notice that this was going to be on and cracking, just like their previous contest in Kansas City. And Kansas City came right back, and then the Raiders hit them, and then Kansas City came right back. It was just great. And I'll tell you this, I know I've had my fun about how Gruden doesn't like any of his quarterbacks, and he's constantly, you know, shopping for the next one or collecting quarterbacks like some sort of odd football menagerie. And, when Peter Mann's available, got to go make sure he's got a job and knock on wood if you're with me and all that business. But he has found his quarterback in Derek Carr, and he has absolutely downloaded Derek Carr with what he wants. And Derek Carr is absolutely buying what Gruden is selling, and I love it. He is really, really, really good. And I know it's low-hanging fruit to bash Derek Carr for whatever reason because of his brother on Twitter or what his brother did before Derek did, and then Derek was crying when his ankle was broken supposedly in that one year where he had the Raiders set up for success. But he's really a dynamite quarterback in this league. He hit so many of his receivers on the hands last night and desperately tried to regain the lead for the Raiders that he constantly gave them against the defending Super Bowl champs, who came in off a bye with a chip on their shoulder and Patrick Mahomes playing at the very top of his game. We are almost 11 weeks in the books here, thank God. But we are almost 11 weeks in the books with another wonderful nationally televised contest for us to feast on and the worldwide leader in sports tonight, the Monday night finale of Week 11 between the Los Angeles Rams, who are trying to match the Seahawks at the top of their tight, highly competitive, best division in football with a 7-3 mark against Tampa, which needs to win to keep pace with the Saints team that won with Taysom Hill at starting quarterback. That's great. Can't wait. But we're 11 weeks in because I don't think either of these teams feature an MVP candidate tonight. Patrick Mahomes is the most valuable player in the National Football League in 2020. He was my choice before the season. I felt it in my bones. And I knew my colleagues giving out well-deserved laurels to so many others who haven't either gotten a vote prior to this season in the MVP campaign, despite great years at the controls of their offense. Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger leap to mind. And Ben is the quarterback of an undefeated team right now. Well-deserved. And we could start throwing it open to people like Derrick Henry, who deserves the conversation as well. After he comes up with it, his second walk-off overtime touchdown of the year.
God, that was amazing.
And the Baltimore Ravens made sure that they'd be ready for this rematch by getting Calais Campbell. Unfortunately, he was not healthy for yesterday's rematch. And Derrick Henry, in the third and fourth quarter, kept hitting his head on the goalpost in the same manner in which he won and done the one-seeded Ravens last year. Got it. Understood. They are terrific football players and deserving of the kudos and deserving of the conversation of saying, hey, they are pretty damn valuable for their teams. But the most valuable player is Patrick Mahomes in this league this year. He's amazing. He is amazing. And I know, you know, I see it on Twitter how much crap Collinsworth gets that he sings his praises. And I'll take those slings and arrows, too. He deserves it. We don't see anybody like him. He is truly a 21st century quarterback. Run, throw, neck up. He's got it all, man. He's got it all. And he's got the weaponry. Got to win a football game. Got to move him down the field for a field goal for a tie, which is the way most people would think. Most teams would be equipped to think, got to get that three, at least force overtime, see what we can do. With him, it's just like, okay, the three is really just, you know, a given. The seven's the cherry on top. and in Vegas, it was more than just three cherries when that one-armed bandit got down the field. He is amazing. Let's dial up a play for the win, everybody. Let's dial up a play with the win. You got the Cheetah and Tyreek Hill, who's the first option, but the second option is Travis Kelce. And look, I love Jonathan Abram. He's a thumper. He lets Kelce get behind him, and then Mahomes goes out of the pocket. He starts running towards him. I guess you can't blame him because he is so damn difficult to put down on the turf, and you've been spending the entire game trying to put him on the turf, and he's out of the pocket. Just leaves Travis Kelce wide open. Literally, you could probably measure from one side of Las Vegas Boulevard to the other with all the lanes of traffic, and that's how wide open, like standing in the middle.
It was very okay. Wide open.
Touchdown. 348 yards, two scores against a quarterback who was absolutely on point, top of his game in Derek Carr. Division opponent, knowing each other, knowing that a win would put them a game behind them at 7-3, 8-2. Back pocket filled with a tie break because they swept him. Oh, so many reasons for the Raiders to show up like they did last night. And they did. And kudos to them. Just a dynamite football game that to me makes me think once again, it's going to be a Steelers-Chiefs AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh. I am all in for it. I'm all in for it. The football gods have not seen fit to have them both in the regular season schedule on the same field. It is really just, it's looming there. The Colts looked very good yesterday on occasion in a win, which we'll get to in a second. Right now, the Titans are the 5 seed. The Raiders are the 7 seed. And right in the middle are the Cleveland Browns, 7-3 for the first time since 1989. But it's the best 10-game start since 1994 when they were 8-2. So the Ravens on the outside looking in, sniffing it. And there are the Dolphins at 6-4. Tua benched, Carson Wentz not. We'll discuss all of that with Peter King when he joins us in about 10 minutes' time. Now then, great football game on Sunday Night Football. Not so pretty late window on Fox. We had Troy Aikman on Friday. He was saying he was going to call that Indianapolis Colts hosting of the Green Bay Packers game. And man, the end of that game was as ugly as Sunday Night Football was as enticing to watch. It's so rare for a team to come back on Aaron Rodgers and have an opportunity to keep him off the field and seal the game. So difficult to do that. But the Colts were in that spot and came up with the rare 8-play, 14-snap, 6-penalty drive in which they did go for it on fourth down to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field and picked it up.
Yeah.
They went for it. Let's not kick the field goal to make sure Aaron Rodgers has got to score a touchdown to win it. And he's just like Mahomes, where the 3's a given, 7's the cherry on top. Let's make sure he doesn't even get on the field. Let's go for it on fourth down instead of sending the bespectacled Georgia Bulldog out there to try and make it a 6-point game. Let's go for it on fourth down. And they picked it up. But they kept getting called for holding after holding after holding. And the Packers didn't have to use any of their timeouts. It was an 8-play but 14-snap drive that took less than 2 minutes off the clock. And only 2 timeouts out of Matt LaFleur's pocket. Oh my gosh, it was ugly. It was ugly. And Aaron Rodgers, who throws more Hail Marys to midfield from his own end zone? Who? He's amazing. Russell Wilson's the only one who comes close to this. I'm assuming Mahomes does too, but he just doesn't have to do it.
Yeah, right.
But it really, his deep balls are just like they're parabolas in the sky. And they, on the down end of it, on the downswing, it's like dropped straight down a chimney. It's like a Santa Claus. Like this, it's just straight down. It's so easy to catch. If I'm not mistaken, it was Valdez Scantling who caught it in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought this game was a wrap. I thought he was going to score a touchdown. But the way that the clock was moving, they didn't want to give enough time to Phillip Rivers. I totally understood why they took some time off the clock. I wish they would have given themselves one more shot at the end zone. But Aaron threw it out of bounds wisely, brought on the field goal unit, forced overtime, and then Valdez Scantling put the ball on the turf, for which he's gotten death threats, which is like, come on,
insane.
Packers fans, let's be better than this, okay?
Insane.
Let's be better than this, especially since there's this. It was ugly. A lot of turnovers. These things happen. They happen. But here's the silver lining, Packers fans. Here it is. It's out of conference. It's if you're going to lose a football game, lose one out of conference. It's basically like the hanging chad of a tiebreaker. It really is. It doesn't factor in a division tiebreak. It doesn't factor in a conference tiebreak. It won't even really factor much in a common opponent's tiebreak because the common opponents in your conference, only 3 others play somebody same out of conference. So it's the best type of loss you can possibly have. And the Vikings lost to TJ Jefferson's Dallas Cowboys.
Can you dig it?
They're basically the team in the division playing the best football outside of your own. Because we know the Bears, they're coming off their bye week. most likely, it seems, with Trubisky, or maybe they'll run it back with Foles. Who cares? Because you have a two-game lead over them and three over the Vikings, who, again, are playing the best football in the division outside of your own. And you can personally fork stick the Bears on Sunday Night Football this coming Sunday and win that game. And you're only one game behind the conference leader who you've already beat. There's only two teams that have a tiebreak on the Saints. One of them is out of conference in the Raiders, so that doesn't matter. And the other one's you. There's not a single other team in the conference, including Tom Brady and the Buccaneers who play tonight, who have a tiebreak on the Saints, except for you. You beat them in week three. So, R-E-L-A-X, especially to you asshats, you cheesehead asshats who are sending death threats to a football player. That is, yes, a good fantasy football team.
A good one. It's a good one.
Cheesehead asshats. Wearing the cheesehead asshat tree of sending a death threat to a football player, who, by the way, is a good football player, a good young football yeah. player, who your quarterback trusts and will trust again. Relax. My two cents on two big football games this past weekend for y'all right there. Also on this show, as I mentioned, Peter King's first up in about 4 minutes' time. Look who's joining us at the top of hour three. Spice Adams, who just has a dynamite social media game, cracks me up. And we'll just talk football with him. And the president of basketball operations, hey. Philadelphia 76ers, hey. T.J. Jefferson, Daryl Morey.
Got questions, Richard. Got questions.
Well, what he just did, and the Sixers Twitter feed put out a photograph, which we're going to put up for you at, before Daryl joins us. He just picked Dwight Howard up from the airport. Now, I saw that on Twitter. Well, he just signed him over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because Dwight Howard, after tweeting out, hey, I'm staying put here in Los Angeles for the Lakers, deleted the tweet, and then all of a sudden he winds up a Sixer for a one-year contract. You put that up, Don. Go ahead. I'm staying right here where I belong, Laker Nation. I love you all. Purple and gold never gets old. Until, you know, that tweet didn't age well because it was deleted literally within minutes, and then he wound up with the Sixers. One of the things to ask Daryl Morey.
A lot of moves over the weekend.
And by the way, the Lakers replacing Dwight Howard with Marc Gasol is yet another yacht to water ski behind here in Los Angeles.
This is ridiculous. Right? How are the Lakers able to get all these guys?
Right.
Like, it's a whole new squad. I can't go through another 72 games of this, guys. I really can't. I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to leave town like other people leave town.
Yeah. Schroeder to distribute the ball.
Ugh.
KCP stand put. Gasol.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Their bench is Schroeder, Montrez, and Marc Gasol.
Oh, yeah, Montrez, too.
Like, Clipper fans knew that was going to be our last season with Harrell. We knew he wasn't re-signing.
Right.
But him signing with the Lakers for far less money than what he could have gotten, did not see that coming.
And then again, if the moves that the Bucks made last week were basically a smoke signal to Giannis that we got this for you, what does it mean that Bogdanovic has now signed an offer sheet with the Hawks? That, okay, the moves that we made weren't all buttoned up. Oh, my gosh.
That whole thing was weird.
Well, but those are different places than Daryl Morey's Philadelphia 76ers. So we will talk to Daryl Morey top of hour two.
Can't wait.
Let's take a break. Peter King's going to join us. So much to talk about with him. Like I said, the Tua benching and then the non-benching of Wentz. We'll hit that with Peter King and so much more. 844-204-RICH is our number to dial. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Look, I know I've been given copy, if you will, to read here, but this is a simple one. It's a must-win for the Ravens, and the Steelers have a couple of games left on their schedule that are going to be tough for them. But outside of that, I mean, there is a real 16-0 possibility in the air for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's all going to play out Thanksgiving night on NBC, 8 Eastern time. Ravens Steelers. We all know the Steelers won the first one, 28-24. The Ravens were driving to try and win that game, but Lamar was stopped. And it's just been a dreadful run for the Ravens since then. You know, the Ravens lost in New England. Baltimore did have a win in Indianapolis before all that. And then what happened against Tennessee? They were up by 2 scores and Derrick Henry happened. Couldn't stop him. Couldn't even hope to contain him, to use the Dan Patrick phrase. And, of course, Dan Patrick precedes us every day here on the Rich Eisen Show. Right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. Do you have a poll question over there, Chris Brockman?
I do, actually.
What do you have over
Here's what I came up with.
Okay.
Which team currently in the wild card slot do you not want to see in the postseason?
Raiders are one of them, obviously.
Raiders, Titans.
No, they are in a wild card slot.
They are in a wild card slot. Okay. They're the seventh seed
right
now. Raiders, Titans on the AFC, and they play tonight. Bucks, Rams. Going to leave the Cardinals out.
Okay.
Just worked out that the two teams are
playing
tonight. I
got you. Very good. So that's the conversation. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, at Rich Eisen Show. If you want to vote on that poll question, we ask you that you do that. And I'll hit that with a retweet the moment that I can. But for the moment, we're pleased to have back here on the show, here on the Monday before Thanksgiving, his Football Morning in America column, must read on profootballtalk.com. He is none other than Peter King, my colleague at NBC Sports. How are you, Peter?
Rich, when I grow up, I want to have merchandise.
Is that right? Well, you want to.
When I grow up, okay. I want to have merchandise.
Okay.
Come on.
So, you know, like a Peter King mug or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you can.
I remember when I was on your set, I took a Rich Eisen mug. I don't know if you realize that, but
no, we actually, Peter,
in my office, I've got a Rich Eisen mug right here.
You know what, Peter? It's wonderful to hear, and I know you're a big coffee guy, so it means a lot to me that you Five Finger discounted that. But we notice exactly who does lift things from our set, including Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons. Not only lifted a mug, he took a coaster too. So we are very, we keep a keen eye on our property, but it's all good. Basically.
That's very it's good. Good.
It's,
very good.
It's all good.
What a weekend.
No
Mitch.
Doubt, man. No.
What an incredible weekend that was.
Great game last night, huh? Wasn't that great?
Really a fantastic game. I mean, if you're a football fan, you have got to somehow hope that, you know, the divisional round in the AFC has Oakland going to Arrowhead. Not Oakland, but Vegas going to Arrowhead. How great would that be?
Amazing.
Really? How great would that be?
It sure would be. It sure would be. Especially since, you know, we're assuming the Steelers will be sitting at the top. And right now the football gods seem to have us putting Kansas City and Pittsburgh for all the AFC marbles. But obviously there's so much more to go before all of that. How do you see, however, that matching up? Because that seems to me, we've already seen, you know, Kansas City against pretty much everybody else in this conference. How do you see that one matching up, Peter?
Well, I think what Kansas City would need to do would be to get its offensive line back intact. Mm-hmm. And to get that healthy before such a game is played. Because the one thing, all the teams that Kansas City is going to play down the stretch, with the possible exception of New Orleans, and look, Miami has a good pass rush too, but it isn't a Pittsburgh pass rush. So I honestly think Kansas City can use week 15 against New Orleans as sort of a measuring stick game for how they would handle the Pittsburgh pass rush. And look, I don't think the Steelers can outscore the Chiefs, but the Steelers can score, and Roethlisberger is obviously capable of putting 35 up on everybody. But the question is, will Patrick Mahomes be bothered enough by the Pittsburgh defense? I mean, you know, Rich, I talked to Mahomes last night, and I said, you know what was great about this game is I said, you were behind in this game, and I'm gonna get the scores probably slightly wrong, but I said you were behind in this game 17-14, mm-hmm. 24 in the second half, 17-14, 24-21, and 31-28.
Yes, sir.
And every time you responded with a drive, 93 yards, 91 yards, 77 yards. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I'm telling you, we are seeing Michael Jordan before our very eyes. It's such a treat to watch the guy play football.
Because it looks so effortless, and we know it's not. And he does have the weaponry, and he's obviously got the right coach. I mean, it is exactly what you need to have in this league, which is the weaponry, the consistency, the mindset, the ability. It really is a perfect storm. And in a spot where, you know, they had been waiting a half a century for the perfect storm to arrive in the same way that we saw it arrived in New England and other places in the NFL. Meanwhile, over in the NFC, we saw, did we just see a Super Bowl contender, top seed in a conference, basically say, let's use a rivalry game as a laboratory for the future to see who we've got in Taysom Hill? Did we really just see that with Sean Payton over the weekend?
Well, Rich, I'll tell you, I've read a lot about this. I've heard a lot about this. And I think, you know, I talked to Payton last night, and he said, here's exactly what happened. In the off season, we told Taysom Hill, and we were excited about it. We told Taysom Hill that he was going to get the first shot, basically. And so this past week, when they had to make a decision, it really wasn't a decision for Peyton to make. Now, if Jameis Winston had blown them away, would they have had a decision to make? Maybe. But he didn't. And so they didn't. That's the first part of it. I think the second part of it is, you know, I think there has been much in the media said about the inadequacies of Taysom Hill and all that. And I think the biggest reason is because he has been seen in cameos the whole time. You know, he's like Sidra in Seinfeld. You know, you never see, you know, a Michael Richards. You don't see him play a season on Seinfeld. You know, you just, all you see is the occasional interesting pop-up, you know, like against the Vikings in the playoff game last year. But you never see a 60-minute game. And, you know, I think it's fashionable in our business, as I say, to say, because we haven't seen him do it, he can't do it. Why? You know, one thing I told Peyton last night, Rich, is that at the scouting combine in 2018, you know, because you go there every year, you know, the one thing about that I love is that you run into somebody and say, hey, want to get a coffee or want to get a beer? And I just happened to walk to see Sean Payton out on the sidewalk in Indianapolis. I said, what are you doing? We were right near Starbucks. Hey, let's get a coffee. And we went in there, and for like 45 minutes before his next appointment, we talked, and he told me the tale of Taysom Hill and how he was this guy who had been a special teams guy for them that year. But he said, I honestly think this guy's got a chance to be our quarterback one day. And I just thought, you know, Peyton is one of these Rube Goldberg types sometimes. And I thought I didn't think he was kidding, but I didn't really know whether he was serious. And every time the subject has come up since, every time, he's always said, I'm telling you, I know what I see, and I see an every down NFL quarterback. So, Rich, I think it's silly that when the opportunity comes up to play him, to automatically knee-jerk go back to a guy who's been a starter for 5 years, like Jameis Winston. I'm not saying that if you had to play Jameis Winston, they wouldn't win with him. They probably would. But this is the guy who's been in line for 3 years. And Sean Payton simply said, I'm not letting anybody cut the line.
And now he is a winner, even though I didn't notice until I read your column. Hill got the verbiage wrong in the first play he called from scrimmage?
He did, yeah. He was supposed to. And this was the play that he and Payton both absolutely loved. And he said, we're going to call it. Because what Payton wanted to do at the start of this game, he wanted to give the opportunity. He didn't want Taysom Hill to go run the ball five times in his first three series. So in his first 17 snaps, he only ran it one time. And that was by design. Payton wanted him to play quarterback, and he wanted some play calls early that he knew that would be a good fit against the Falcons. And so this particular one, he was supposed to have Michael Thomas go into motion, okay? And he forgot to call the motion in the huddle, the excitement of the moment. And so Payton is looking out, and he sees this ball snapped. He goes, well, wait a second. What happened to the motion? And then he completes the pass, and obviously later he said, what are you doing? He said, and he just simply forgot to call the motion. So, but, you know, I said that it was a sign of good karma. They still gained 8 yards on the play. And look, he only had 5 incompletions all day, and 2 of them were drops.
Well, and look, he did score 2 with his legs, and he did find Michael Thomas for 104 yards and targeted him 12 times, and Kamara scored, and a deep ball to Emmanuel Sanders for a score was called back due to a penalty, and the defense smothered the Atlanta pass game. So, I mean, it's all good in the hood. They're 8-2, and now the question is what about Breeze? Do you think he does return after 2 more IR games, Peter?
I get the impression, talking to the Saints, that Breeze and their doctors believe that it's not only realistic but pragmatic that he will come back flak jacketed and play against Philadelphia. I think it's week 14. But, and this is a big but, I think Payton is going to say to Breeze the same thing. Remember last year when Breeze probably could have played football before, you know, he actually came back. But Bridgewater was playing fine. They're winning. Hey, get healthy. Get totally healthy. The way I would do it if I were them, I would – look, they've got 3 challenging games, the last 3 games of the year. Kansas City and Minnesota at home, and then at Carolina. I think that, you know, if you can't win – against Denver, Atlanta, and Philadelphia in the next 3 weeks, and you don't feel confident enough to win, I wouldn't really love my chances in January either. So I think he's got a chance to play against Philadelphia, but I think they're going to play it by ear as to how they're playing and how Breeze is healing.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. Next up, as you mentioned, is at Denver, and the Denver defense certainly threw a wrench onto the tracks of the Tua train that I have been riding on. What'd you make of Brian Flores' decision and just basically saying, we're going to go back to him. He's a tough kid. I thought we needed a spark, so on and so forth. What'd you think of that one?
I think one of the worst cliches in football, and not just by the media, but by football teams, is that, well, you've given the job to Tua. Now you can't take him out. Why? Is there a rule in the coaching rule book that says Tua is going to shatter like a pane of glass if you take him out, that he has no confidence? This is a guy who played for friggin' Nick Saban. I mean, to think that some guy is going to get crushed mentally because he gets pulled out of a game. You know, what happened yesterday reminds me of when pick a great goalie in the last few years in the NHL. If the Rangers pull Henrik Lundqvist in the middle of a game at Calgary in January because he gave up five goals in the first period. It's not your day, buddy. You're out. Bring in John Doe here, your backup. I mean, so what? They took the guy out. He wasn't playing well, and he'll be back next week. I just think sometimes we invent rules in sports that I always just say, why is that an accepted part of doing business? That now you can't yank Tua because you gave him a starting job. There's no reason why you can't yank him the same way that there's no reason why you can't pull Ryan Fitzpatrick in and out of the lineup when need be. He's under contract, you know. I mean, if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets yanked, his feelings are hurt, definitely were. But if he is not going to accept his role, see you later, Ryan. We'll go get whoever else is out there.
Well, I guess the reason why, Peter, and trust me, I have worked on game day morning with Marshall Faulk and Warren Sapp and Michael Irvin, and the number of times that I've heard them all say is, how come quarterbacks don't get treated like every other position group in the NFL,
right,
where if you do not produce,
you must
sit and watch somebody else who's on the depth chart next man up? Like, why do they get treated like a special piece of Tiffany or a special piece of China? Like, why do they do that? So I totally understand that. That said, that we have also seen locker rooms get split, right? Where they're like, well, why are we going with that guy and not that guy, or that guy and not that guy, or I'm more that guy than that guy. So I guess this would be a test of Brian Flores' coaching acumen that has rightfully had a lot of praises sung about it this year, right? I mean, like, he must know that he can toggle back and forth between these two guys right now, right? Don't you think?
I mean, you don't even know if it's going to be a toggle. Maybe they put Tua back in and he plays the next 6 weeks,
right?
And everybody lives happily ever after. Remember in 2003 when the week before the regular season, the Patriots cut Lawyer Malloy. Tom Jackson went on ESPN that week and said the Patriots hate their coach. And Buffalo beat New England in the opener 31-0. Well, you know, that year, the Patriots went on. By the way, in the last game of the season, the Patriots beat the Bills 31-0.
Yeah, snap.
And they went on to win the Super Bowl. And so that's why, and I'm not saying, look, I think Bill Belichick has made some mistakes. Every coach does. But what I'm saying is that I don't think there's any reason that anybody in the Miami locker room would have to say, oh, my God, Tua's been perfect. And how in the world can you take him out? It's just, I just don't hear it. I don't see it. And I doubt it's going to happen.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. So then why stick with Wentz for as long as Doug Peterson has stuck with him? Why can't why can't he take the same approach that you're saying right now? Why?
I think it has to do with the fact that the Eagles are essentially stuck with Wentz through the end of next year. He's got like a guaranteed $26 million that he's owed next year. They're not going to be able to get rid of him. And I think they're really concerned right now about his confidence level. They must be, because otherwise, why in the world wouldn't you even entertain the thought of playing Jalen Hurts? I certainly would. You know, we're getting to the point now, Rich, where this is an absolutely awful division, as everybody knows. But somebody's going to make the playoffs, and somebody's going to get a home game. So let's say you're Doug Peterson and you're Howie Roseman, the GM, you're Jeffrey Lurie. In my opinion, my biggest question would be, we got Seattle coming in this week. What gives us our best chance to win against Seattle this week? Now, it's unlikely they're going to win the game anyway, but, you know, every game is a game. And what gives us the best chance to beat Seattle? maybe they will come to the conclusion that, that Carson Wentz does. I would certainly argue it's time to give Carson Wentz a mental health break. You know, taking that safety yesterday was just, that's a freshman in high school move right there. That was awful. That was, you know, you've got to know, I can't get tackled in the end zone. You know, you just got to get rid of the ball. So, but be that as it may, anybody who's watched the Eagles play in the last month says there's something wrong with Wentz. You know, he needs a break. I definitely play Jalen Hurts with a couple of, you know, a couple of these games down the stretch.
Last one for you, Peter, is the Ravens have one of the top organizations in the business, as you know, from the owner to the president to front office to the coach. The word panic normally wouldn't come to mind, but how do they not have a serious level of concern right now that the way that this team has been constituted and built is a problem for this team in 2020, and how to fix it for 2020 is a major Rubik's Cube to figure out?
The worst thing for them yesterday, in my opinion, I watched most of that game. The worst thing for them is that, you know, it was brought home on the non-tackle of A.J. Brown. And what was so incredible about that, four guys have a chance to tackle him. Hey, look, A.J. Brown is 98% version of D.K. Metcalf. So it's not like he's easy to bring down. But you're the Baltimore Ravens. You are the big, bad bullies, you know, of the AFC. And you miss four tackles or four opportunities to tackle a receiver on, at that moment, the biggest play in the game. I'd be a little worried about Lamar Jackson. I'd be worried about them offensively not being able to dictate their will on an opponent the way they did so often last year. But, man, that was a worrisome thing to me when I saw that they didn't tackle A.J. Brown yesterday. So I think they got a lot to worry about. You can't really do much in a short week, Rich.
I know.
You know, they're 6-4, and as you say, they have to win this because, look, they got Pittsburgh, and then the following Thursday they've got Dallas, and then
Cleveland,
a sneaky tough game at Cleveland the following week.
Monday night.
So there is absolutely no guarantee that they're going to make the playoffs. Right now, if I looked at the three teams in the AFC that are better right now today in the wild card race, Vegas, definitely better. Tennessee, better. Miami, probably better. Cleveland, maybe better. So, I mean, they've got to find somebody who they can beat right now, and especially, Rich, the one other thing, they have a 4-4 conference record.
Oh,
I mean,
big
they've
problem.
Got four conference losses. If they lose to Pittsburgh, they would lose a tiebreaker to almost every team in the AFC. So, I mean, you know, that's why this game in Pittsburgh is so much more important than just getting back on the right track. Five conference losses. How do you win tiebreakers with five conference losses?
Mm. It is so huge on Thanksgiving night, and their next three games, as we've just pointed out, are all in front of the whole country to see. Thanksgiving night on NBC, and then the triple cast Thursday night opener to Week 13 against Dallas, and then Monday night on ESPN against Cleveland. It is on and cracking for the Ravens. Thanks for the call, Peter. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Let's chat again soon. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Rich. All the best to you.
You're the best. Enjoy the mug. Enjoy the mug, Peter. It's Peter King right here. You know, if you think about it, the AFC North standings take Cincinnati out of the mix, and oh my gosh, I'm so heartbroken about Joe Burrow.
Oh, brutal.
Take it out of the mix. The standings last year have totally flipped. Last year, if you remember, it was Baltimore first, then Cleveland, Cincinnati. I mean, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, right? Now Pittsburgh's on top. Cleveland's in second place. And there are the Ravens third. It's pretty much flipped. It was Ravens, Steelers, Browns. If you remember, Duck Hodges made him 8-8. Totally, I mean, it's on its head. Let's take a break. The three biggest winners yesterday might not have even played a game. I'll explain what that means. Daryl Morey of the Philadelphia 76ers and your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. That's on our immediate horizon.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
We're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the show. Thanksgiving games, man. Texans-Lions. It'll be great to see the Watt
I have Deshaun in fantasy,
okay,
too,
so that's a good one.
That's a good one.
All right. Alex Smith on Thanksgiving Day. You want to talk about Thanksgiving. I mean, that is right. Just a made-for-Thanksgiving story that he's a starting quarterback of a team that can make the damn playoffs.
I was going to say, there's
a big
still
game
alive.
Between the still alive. Football team v. Cowboys. Both teams. And then the nightcap. Ravens have to have it. You just heard Peter King say that. I didn't even think of this. I didn't look at their conference record. 4-5 in conference is a non-starter. You're going to lose every tiebreak that you don't have head-to-head. You'll lose back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Peter King mentioning that the Ravens being 4-5 in conference, if they lose this game against the Steelers. In the same way that I said at the top of the show to Packers fans, RELAX, you lost out of conference. You're still a game behind the one seed, a team that you have a tiebreaker against because you beat them in the Saints. You still have a two-game lead in division against the Bears team that cannot find the light switch on offense if their lives depended on it. Losing in conference for the Ravens, going 4-5 in conference, oh my gosh. Division's gone.
Yeah, division's gone.
And then you know.
They only have a tiebreak over Miami in the wild card right now.
That might be helpful for the seventh seed. Then there's those Browns who they whipped 38-6 in week one, and now they're looking up at in the standings. How about that? Browns, if I told you and the Browns lost week one 38-6 that they'd be in second place above the Ravens going into Thanksgiving, you'd have said no chance on this earth. No chance.
No chance.
And yet there they are. And at some point, we got to start talking about Kevin Stefanski as coach of the year. Yeah, man. To use the to use the Lebowski drop that we got here.
Stefanski did say today, Myles Garrett is already out for the 12.
Okay, I mean they just beat the Eagles.
Just saying.
Say what you will about that.
Browns 5-1 at home. Also, getting it done.
They're winning games that they should win.
Yep.
And yesterday was one of them in the rain. Without Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb is such a difference maker for that team, buddy.
Right?
Nick Chubb is such a difference maker. Next up, they're at Jacksonville, another should-win game.
And with that run game, they're not asking Baker to do too much, so he's able to kind of manage the game.
Three teams that had a great week 11, and they didn't have to leave their couch. Ready for them?
What do you got?
I got three teams on a bye week. Buffalo Bills didn't leave their couch. Patriots lost, just in case you were thinking they might come from the outside.
But
on a, you know, from outside down the stretch they come. And the Dolphins.
Miami.
Dolphins lose, and Tua's out. Fitz is in, but Tua's going
to
be back in. I'll talk about that later on, my two cents on it. We just hit it with Peter King. I mean, how about that? They could have been tied with Miami atop the division going into Thanksgiving week. Instead, they're a game in front. And they already have beaten Miami. As you know, I think game 256 of this season is going to be Miami at Buffalo. Because it's going to mean a lot. That's my prediction there. The Bears, I know, look, man, I know the Bears are who we think they are, but they are still only 5-5. Heaven forbid they figure out what to do and how to be you on offense. The Packers lose. Packers could have been way three games in front. Now it's just two, and they do have the chance to make it one themselves. They haven't played the Packers yet this year. That's another finale in week 17. Make sure I get that right. I thought that all. Yep, they're home against Green Bay in week 17. And the Vikings lose. So they don't even have company in second place. That's a big one. And then the New York Football Giants sitting at home, fighting off the rumor that the coach was fighting with their offensive line assistant and vice versa. New York Giants sit at home, and yeah, I get it. The Washington football team and the Cowboys both win. By the way, first time since week 7 that multiple NFC East teams won in the same week. And in week 7, it had to happen. Well, I guess not, but it most likely had to happen because in week 7, everybody played everybody else. That was when the Washington football team beat Dallas and beat down and beat out Andy Dalton. And the Eagles started the week by getting a break against the Giants when Evan Ingram couldn't catch that pass. Two NFC East teams, we think, had to win that week. Of course, it could be a tie. But this is the first time where they didn't play each other, and they're two and independently won in the same week. And now the Giants are just a half game out of first behind an Eagles team they should have swept. Yes, they have company, but they're in it. Giants are in it. Giants can win this thing. And
Let's
I'm
go.
Not going higher register.
Let's
I'm
go.
Talking in regular register.
You might as well go higher for that. Oof. Running the table, Rich. I told you last week.
Cowboys, baby.
Running the table.
I will hit that later on. I promise you, later on in this show, I will hit your Cowboys. I will talk about the difference between one coach and Brian Flores toggling between quarterbacks in Miami and one coach in Philadelphia refusing to do it. When it looks like just give it a whirl, what can it hurt? Well, Doug Peterson has his two cents on that. That's coming later on. But I just wanted to hit these three teams that just sat at home. 49ers are the other bye week team.
Yeah, but
Arizona lost. We'll see what the Rams do tonight. I mean, if the 49ers can sit at home and have two teams in front of them lose, you know, that wouldn't be bad either. Hey, sometimes it pays to just sit on your ass. As we found out, if we only had most of America decide to do that these days, it would be great.
Get your damn act together.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Jerry.
Wear a mask, everybody. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I promise to take your phone calls. Next phone call I'm going to take, however, is from Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations of the Philadelphia 76ers, who made some great moves draft night and then made an interesting move on Friday night involving a player who said, I'm returning to the Lakers, but I'm going to come to Philadelphia. That's Dwight Howard, who he picked up from the airport just this very morning.
It's class right there, Rich.
You know what?
Class.
There it is right there. Again, I don't know why I thought like he was sitting outside of gate 13A waiting for him, but there he is in what is obviously an FBO. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Again, stay on hold. I promise to take your calls because Overreaction Monday's coming up next hour as well. Dwight Howard is now in Daryl Morey's back pocket. He'll join us next. We're still here on Peacock. Again, I don't know why I thought when I hate Daryl Morey picked him up at the airport that he got through security, you know, just because he's the Sixers.
A sign? GM,
that he's there.
Like
is there the
Howard?
Sign? Yeah, D Howard, you know, Howard, or he's waiting by baggage claim.
Right.
Right?
Hey, I'm at the curbside. No, I'm on the outer curb.
The white zone is for loading and unloading of free agent centers.
Well, let's remember now.
I don't know why I thought that. What a dumbass. I literally thought that. And then I saw this photograph. Now, by the way, can put it up one more time. I would love to have what Dwight Howard's wearing. I would sleep in what Dwight Howard's wearing. That is the ultimate plain wear. Look how comfortable is that.
Very comfy.
That is the ultimate in, like, what is that? Is that suede? Is that like a suede tracksuit?
He's got Gucci shoes on.
Look at that.
You know, for socially acceptable.
That may be a Gucci tracksuit. That may be a full Gucci.
Because he's got Gucci sneakers on, yeah, so it might be full Gucci.
That's a full Gucci suit right there.
Hey, Rich, let's not forget back in like 92, 93 when Uncle Jerry took a trip to, the Dallas
airport
and picked up Charles Haley right there at baggage claim. That's how class acts do it. Cowboys class act, Daryl, class act.
Look at this guy.
That's how we do it.
He's feeling his oats. Hour two coming up.